We'll try to get into a practical aspect of it. So, Ange, you can go ahead and lay down if you want. So, 1 Timothy 6, and let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us understand your words. Thank you for a Bible that not just teaches us how to walk with you, but also a country is supposed to be run. And ours started that way, tried. But, of course, the devil interjected, interfered. And I just pray you'd help us to be able to understand the Bible and help us to look forward to the day when you will show how a governmental system is supposed to work. And I pray you'd help us to be ones that would be worthy to be able to serve in your administration and your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. So, it says, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded. So that's usually the first problem. Nor trust in uncertain riches. Okay, so that's where we're going to go, and I'm going to show you how uncertain it is. And it's like the saying, if you're not paranoid, you don't see what's going on. Okay? Uncertain riches. Very uncertain. We don't realize how uncertain it is. Nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. So there's our trust in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works. So if, and Americans, compared to the world, we are wealthy and all those things, use that for good, the good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Okay, the Lord Jesus did not come in the flesh to show man how to make a living. He came to show us how to live. Okay, and you can get online and probably find financial freedom courses. In the Gothard Ministry, they had a series of that, like 20 lectures or whatever. Financial freedom is like riding a unicycle bicycle up a hill. But one thing that Zero of the financial freedom proponents or teachers, none of them will tell you about the obstacles, meaning the obstacles that you and I cannot control. They will tell you about obstacles we can control. Okay, that is some good principles to live by. But these are obstacles you and I cannot control. Larry Burkett, Dave Ramsey, they will not talk about this. Democrat, Republicans have no differences in this area, in the idea of monetary policy. None whatsoever. They have no differences. Doesn't matter what side they are on. And it's something you and I cannot control. And here we are sitting, you know, over 200 years since the beginning of our country, and it's hard to see the slow process. Okay, where you and I are at the end. Okay, if you get currency, if you go to a coin shop or jewelry store, golden coin place, sometimes they'll have old currency in there, and it's good to get that. When you get all those old currencies, then you could lay them and then see the progression. Okay, so I have silver certificates. I have United States notes, Federal Reserve notes. I have here is a gold certificate. So I'm supposed to be able to take this to the treasury and get 20 gold dollars. Anybody would like to go with me to try to get this? Okay. Do you have your life insurance policy paid up? I have about 5 or 6 of these. Okay. You're supposed to do it at any Federal Reserve Bank, but not going to happen. Okay, and so that's what these are. And so these date back in the early 1900s, and I even have one from the Lincoln day. Okay, now when you lay all these side by side, you can see what's happened to our country. Okay, and so If you would, Isaiah 65. Now, many of the suggestions by the financial freedom teachers are helpful in a free market economy. They are helpful in a free market economy, but they can't do anything for Christians in Vietnam, Cambodia, any of the Muslim countries. Okay, but they will help. Now, when I say free market, there's really no such thing as a complete free market. Okay, but a relatively free market. Here's a complete free market. Isaiah 65, Jesus Christ is the King. And verse 17, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. And the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall no more be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infinite days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For a child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be a curse. Now here's the free market economy. They shall build houses and inhabit them. No permits, no regulations. Build it the way you want. Don't have to ask anybody. It's your property. Don't have to pay an annual rent called property tax. It's all that individual. And they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands, they shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed Lord and their offspring with them. That would be an encouraging time. Okay, but for born-again believers, we just get to watch it. Okay, so, or be a part of it, hopefully. Okay, so that is a true free market economy under the administration of Jesus Christ. Now, family and financial struggles began with the punishment of Eve and Adam. Eve, mainly family. Adam, financial struggles. That began there. God is not interested in your wealth or lack thereof. He's not interested in that. God is interested in you. That's what he's interested in. Proverbs chapter 22, the rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. The Lord, if the Lord has in his plan for a born-again believer poverty, there's nothing that they're going to do to change that. That's what the Lord, he's made them, both rich and poor. Okay, that's part of the Lord's work. The Lord is not going to redistribute wealth. He doesn't do that. So, why? Because God is interested in the person. He's interested in individually. Now, if you would, Proverbs chapter 3, godly wisdom exceeds worldly wealth. Okay, in this idea, it's more important to know some things, some truths of the Bible than to have money. That's more important to God. Now, the Bible will help in that realm, but the priority, Proverbs 3, verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver. There you go. And the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Chapter 8, verse 18. If the Bible had vocal cords that can speak, it would probably talk to us in Proverbs 8 and 9. And in chapter 8, verse 18, this says, riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. So in the Bible, God says priorities, godly wisdom exceeds worldly wealth. Okay, now, I want to go through these obstacles and give a little different details on them from what I did last week. And then as we go through this, maybe we'll get some practical things where the Bible and the Lord shows the obstacles, but then the Lord also says this is how you can work through the system for His glory. Okay, and this one, I just repeat what I said last week, is that none, zero of the economists, when they use the Bible to teach these things, zero of them will tell you the doctrinal differences between the Old Testament and New Testament. They're not going to do that. Okay, where in the Old Testament, a man of great faith, Abraham was also a wealthy man, but in the New Testament, a man of great faith died poor, Paul, the Apostle Paul. Okay, and Paul became rich by becoming poor. So we have those differences. So they're not going to discuss that. It just doesn't come up because these, if they're like the financial advisors or programs or seminars, I don't know their motive. The charlatans on the charismatic movement, their motive is to get gain. Now these financial gurus are getting rich by all these seminars that they have. They do make it. They're making the money too, but at least they are offering something back to the listeners where the charismatic guys should give nothing back. So that's our first obstacle. The second one, I'm going to go into a little bit more detail. The second obstacle that they never discuss is the national economies and the deception of fiat money. Okay, fiat money. That's the deception. Okay, and that is the overlooked as legal plunder and the fiat money are the two main thieves of American society. Okay, and that's where the theft takes place. That's outside of your control. You can't do anything about it. Okay, you just try to survive. Okay, with all this stuff against us. And God can overcome those things. So when I say fiat money, okay, there are many economists in the past. Hazlitt is one that I can recall. A guy named Leonard Reed is the one I read a lot. Leonard Reed got some great ideas. Ron Paul was a congressman that was very knowledgeable about these things. Okay, and trying to get the Fed audited, not going to happen. Okay, and there's other great economists. John Adams was one in early. Now, you say, why do you talk about these things? None of us here are going to be able to change anything in our country. And that's probably true. Does anybody trace your lineage back to British royalty? Anybody here? Anybody got a lineage back to British? Okay, there's a possible presidential candidate. Okay, so we have one possible presidential. Did you know that all our presidents trace their lineage back to British royalty? Yeah, so, okay, so at least, well, praise the Lord, we got one candidate. Mom, do we have a little bit back? I might be one. So, I don't know. So, but that's interesting. Okay, so the idea of fiat money, okay, it's a currency that a government, whatever that is, has declared to be legal tender, whatever that means. But it's not backed by anything physical. Zero. Zips. This paper, the paper that you have in your pocket, your wallet, okay, these documents, it has a 20 on there, that costs 4 cents to publish. 4 cents. 3.5, it used to be 3.5, but I think it's probably printing probably up to 4, maybe a nickel now. That's what it cost the Federal Reserve paid a nickel to get this printed by the Treasury Department, and then they get full face value. How many would like to start a business like that? Pretty nice, huh? That's how that works. It has not backed. Now, if you want to read and try to learn from it, you can get online and download Modern Money Mechanics, and they show you how money is created. And they don't hide it. They tell you right in here. In the United States, neither paper currency nor deposits have value as commodities. A dollar bill is just a piece of paper. What makes it work? Mainly, it is the confidence people have that they will be able to exchange such money and so forth. Amazing that it works. It's confidence. What happens if you lose confidence? A run on the bank. That happened during the Great Depression. Nobody talks about what caused the Great Depression. What caused it? It just happened. No. It was orchestrated. Okay, and if you would, Proverbs chapter 11. I want to do a little survey on this one. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1. I'm sure many of us have heard somebody use this passage. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. How many of you heard that verse used saying, you have to have a balance in life between love and this and that and that, because the Bible says a false balance is abomination unto the Lord, and you want to make sure your life... How many have ever heard it preached that way? How many have ever heard it preached what it actually saying? What is it actually saying? A false balance and a weight. It's weighing money. Somebody's putting their finger on the scale. Like one fellow said, when I got saved, I took my finger off the scale. Because he was selling more by his finger on the scale. That is talking about a financial thing. Okay, if you go back to Leviticus 19, you have two verses back there where it talks about a just balance and just weights. And he's talking about finances, economies. The Fed is an abomination to God. It's an abomination to God. But no politician is ever going to mention that. Okay, so I got Proverbs 11, verse 1, Proverbs 16, verse 11. Nice number. It says, a just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are His work. Proverbs 20, verse 23. Diverse weights are an abomination to the Lord, and a false balance is not good. What are they weighing in these balances? Jeremiah 32, verse 10. Jeremiah is in the pokey because he often visited that, by not freely. He's in jail, and the Lord spoke to him. He said, oh, by the way, your uncle's coming. He wants you to buy some property from him. He wants you to redeem it. He said, oh, okay. Well, then his uncle shows up, and Jeremiah 32 is a very practical chapter of how to buy property in the will of God. So he's in a pokey. He has a right of redemption. What does that mean? Okay, he's got the right of redemption on that. And look at verse 10. We'll just look at one verse of the entire chapter. I subscribe the evidence. So you want to have written documents and sealed it. So you have a notary or three witnesses to your signature. Took witnesses and weighed him the money in the balances. That's what Proverbs 11 verse 1 is talking about. Where somebody is jimmying the balances. Okay, and that is abominable. It's like a guy who owns a store and he has a scale to weigh out certain products, you know, candy, you know, or anything, baking goods, stuff like that. And so he comes in and it sets at a pound and he rolls a little dial back. So it's only given 15 ounces instead of 16 ounces. God is watching that. That is theft. That's a false balance. The downfall of the nation is when that portion goes down. Micah chapter 6. These Old Testament prophets were not just, they were primarily prophets of religion, Judaism, but secondarily they were prophets of a nation because they had a temple-state situation until Babylon took it away from them. And that was because God judged them. Now Micah, he talked about this in chapter 6, verse 10. And he's warning, Micah's warning the nation of Israel. He said this, are there yet the treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked and the scant measure that is abominable? Shall I count them pure with the wicked balances and with a bag of deceitful weights? For the rich men thereof are full of violence, and the inhabitants thereof have spoken lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. That's the downfall of a nation. That's when a nation's falling apart. Okay, and what's it going to be like before the millennium? Ezekiel 45. I mean, when you read Ezekiel and you get in chapter 40, your brain kind of goes in a oh boy, oh. And you're reading about that millennial temple, and your brain, Well, right tucked inside, sometimes you'll find something amazing. Ezekiel 45, verse 9. He says, "Thus saith the Lord God, let it suffice you, O princes of Israel. Remove violence and spoil, execute judgment and justice, take away your exactions from my people, saith the Lord. Ye shall have just balances and a just ephah and a just bath." That's not a bathtub. Those are weights. What's an exaction? It's a legal term. I put the definition down in a footnote. Okay, and that's when a person thinks they're supposed to pay something when they don't have to pay it. But then you have to convince the ones at the top that you don't have to pay it. At the end of a gun. Or the threat of jail. Now this controversy between the Lord and the money changers is very important as far as the Lord goes. It's recorded in all four Gospels. The money changers. So this is a big deal, but because we don't study it, we don't understand it. And I didn't understand it until we took them law classes, and I didn't fully understand it until the third class. And when it hit my brain, it was just like, oh, I can't believe this is going on. Okay, now the third major obstacle is the devourer and deceiver of riches. If you would, try Malachi chapter 3. Satan uses riches as a carrot to try to dangle this in front of people to get worship. Because he is ultimately the one who can actually manipulate what goes where. Okay, Malachi 3 verse 8, this is the Old Testament for Israel as far as the tithe goes. He says, "Well, men rob God, yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Okay, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation." Now this is directly Israel. So he says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Now, doctrinally, this is Israel. They will get national prosperity if they did this. And then he says, "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes." And then so forth and so on. The devourer there would be Satan and company. Now remember, we've been going through Ezekiel on Thursday nights, and Ezekiel had seven chapters in a row. He has seven chapters, we haven't got to them yet. Seven in a row about Satan and or the Antichrist. Starting at chapter 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32. 26 to 32. Seven chapters. All the main character is the Antichrist. What's interesting to me, when you run through them, you'll find the word merchandise. Multiple times. Merchandise. That's an old archaic English word that we don't hear anybody use anymore. It's only found in the King James Bible. Ezekiel 26, 12. Okay, we'll run through this. Some of these. "They shall make a spoil of thy riches and make a prey for thy merchandise." That will be Tyrus. 27, verse 9. "The ancients of Gebal, the wise men thereof, were in thy caulkers. All the ships of the sea were the mariners, were in thee to occupy thy merchandise. Verse 15, again, it's there. Instead of reading them, I'll just give you some of the references. In chapter 27, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times. And then 28 is the obvious one. 28, verse 16. Anybody that teaches demonology or anything about Satan will always go to Ezekiel 28. Good place to go. Good thing to do. Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14, two of the best places. But what's associated in Ezekiel 28 in verse 18, I think it is, 16, verse 16, by the multitude of thy merchandise, they were filled in the midst of thee with violence. So the devil takes this merchandise as a carrot, and then people who want that merchandise, they covet after it. If they really want it, then they make deals with Satan, and he said, I'll give you fame and fortune, you can have these things. Okay, and then they get those things. And then they discover it's not what I thought it was. So the most subtle methods of devouring wealth. This is a trick of the subtle serpent. How can you devour wealth from people, but yet stay good in their sight? Inflation, taxation. People say, he's a banker. Oh, he's a banker. I'm not talking about the teller. I'm talking about presidents of the bank, international bankers, okay, or politicians. Okay, and so we look at that. Now, I'll give you a little bit of history. Inflation, what causes that? It's manipulated by the Fed. What's the Fed? A private corporation, federal, it's not federal, it's private, reserve. They don't have a reserve per se, bank, and it's really not much of that. Okay, and so that they are the manipulators. It's a private corp, it's a monopoly over money. It is the modern money changers that Jesus ran out of the temple. That's what it is. Okay, now, this is an article from the National Geographic, January 1993, that describes how they make it up out of thin air. They've published this, they've published it. How do they do this? How do they get away with a $20 trillion debt and keep going? Can you play Monopoly and get away with that? I'll tell you how, here's the dirty idea, the dirty secret. I don't know if some of you have heard this. I think a few of you have. That when a person is born, what do parents do dutifully? Get a birth certificate. Why? That's just what we do. What is that document? That becomes collateral. I don't know if anybody knows how much value they put at that. I'd heard minimum is $1 million. I've heard it's up as high as $30 million. It's collateral. Okay, it's not the natural born person, it's all uppercase letters, it's a trust. Now, if it's $1 million per birth certificate, we have 300 million people in America, so 300 million birth certificates, that would total up to, I did my math on that, that would total up to $300 trillion. So, oh man, 20 trillion, oh man, we got a lot of collateral left. That's how that's done. If it's 30 million, that goes up to 9 quadrillion. That's how that is funded. That's how it's all pretense. Now, Charles Lindbergh, I think some of us remember that name. Charles Lindbergh was the first man that flew a solo flight across the transatlantic, okay, nonstop. Well, he had to stop when he got there, but I mean, as far as across the Atlantic, okay. His dad was a congressman in Minnesota, and when the Fed was put in play December 22nd, 1913, you know, right before Christmas, everybody forgets about it. 1930, that's a funny number. Under a hyper-Calvinist president, Woody Woodrow Wilson. Okay, when that got in, Charles Lindbergh warned our nation about it. We have some congressmen that warned us about this. And Charles Lindbergh openly opposed the creation of the Fed. And he kind of sort of passed this down to his son. And his son, when he made that, after he made that flight, he became pretty popular, pretty well-known, celebrity, famous. And here's some statements by Charles Lindbergh Jr. The Jews are one of the principal forces attempting to lead the United States into war. The Jews' greatest danger in this country lies in their large ownership and influence in our motion pictures, our press, our radio, our government. I am not saying the leaders of the Jewish race wish to involve us in the war for reasons that are not American. He said, the greatest danger in this country lies in their large ownership and influence in our motion pictures, our press, our radio, and our government. He said, the manipulation of credit has been the most potent of all methods employed by financiers as a means of controlling commerce and fixing prices. We are all consumers and should be all producers. This credit is a tax upon humanity, as if the government bonds were issued and people were obliged to pay it. What happened to Charles Lindbergh? Anybody remember what happened? The crime of the century? Son got kidnapped. 20-month-old child kidnapped, found dead. That's a good way to shut somebody up. In the first and last competitor of the Fed was JFK. He's the first and last. Okay, so here I have currency. That's silver certificate. Okay, that one's necessary. United States notes, that's necessary. Okay, here's, and you're welcome to look at these. And keep your grubby fingers from stealing. No. This is United States note. Okay, what is a note? A note is a debt. 1928. Okay, so this was in circulation 1928. The Fed began in 1913. By the time they got their ball waxed going, you had two currencies. Now, people in those days knew what this was. And when they started putting this fake stuff out, they have right here a little PS. We'll pay the bearer on demand $20. That meant 20, this one, gold coins. 20 gold coins. It says right there. Redeemable in gold on demand at the United States Treasury or in gold or lawful money. What's lawful money? You mean that's not lawful money? What's lawful money? Not that. But I could go get lawful money if I wanted to. So the United States notes of 1928 fell out of circulation with the good old FDR. And then the only thing they had was silver certificate, $5. So in 1962, you can use a $5 silver certificate or a $5, that's the United States notes, or a $5 Federal Reserve note. JFK saw the Fed as a thief. So JFK had United States notes printed 1963. So JFK, 1963, he had three $5 bills. That's good to have competition. But something happened to him. Very unusual thing happened to him. And the first thing LBJ did when he became president, as he got sworn in under a missile, you know, Catholic, on a missile, a Catholic thing, he took all these out of circulation. First executive order. Now, Ronald Reagan said something bad about the Fed, and then George Bush sort of kind of had Ronald Reagan shot, you know, the week later. Because Hinckley and the Bush families were close and all that stuff. So that's why I'm saying, if anybody would like to go to the Treasury with me and try to get this redeemed, you know, have a bulletproof vest and all that stuff. Okay, and so that's what's happening. Now, in the Bible, what does the Bible say about something like this? If you would look in Ezekiel chapter 22. JFK said this: there is a plot in this country to enslave every man, woman, and child. Before I leave this high and noble office, I intend to expose it. Well, 7 days later, something entered into his mind. Goodbye, JFK. Okay? In Ezekiel talked about this, Ezekiel 22. And Martin Luther, the great reformer, had the same opinion. Ezekiel 22, he says, behold, verse 13, therefore I have smit mine hand at thy dishonest gain which thou hast made, and at thy blood which has been in the midst of thee. Okay, so he's smitten his hand. I should back up to verse 12. In thee have they taken gifts to shed blood. Thou hast taken usury and increase, and thou hast greedily gained of thy neighbors by extortion, and hast forgotten me, saith the Lord. Okay, so it's a banking system that charges usury. What is the penalty? Ezekiel chapter 13, I think it is verse 18. Or 18:13. Let's see if I can find it. 18, I think it's 18:13. There it be. Ezekiel 18:13. Hath thou given forth upon usury and hath taken increase? Shall he live? He shall not live. He hath done all these abominations. He shall surely die. His blood be upon him. Okay, that's the obstacle. Okay, and so we need to just recognize that. Now, the Lord says we can work within this system. Because he did. Satan deceives the world through riches, through rich celebrities and men of renown, to create covetousness and discontentment. So, people watch television, and they see these people have everything right at their hand, and then they look at their house, man, I got nothing. So they, hey, I got this, a plastic card. And then they jack that up, and then they get enslaved to the payments. And see, that's the intent. So what do we have to do? We have to, if we're going to have a card for its convenience, which is convenient, we pay it off every month. Okay? I mean, that is discipline. That's a disciple. That's what God... Now, the devil doesn't need our money. He doesn't need anybody's money. Why does he want wealth? For control purposes. That's the intent. Control. And Satan will devour wealth for enslavement. During the Jimmy Carter's administration, they had a research, and they did a research or a study. How many hours does it take the average American to provide his basic needs? And they concluded 15 hours. Okay, the rest was to pay for like hidden taxes, government fees, and all the other things. They figured it was 15 hours in this. It's called Global 2000. And so then they projected it to the year 2000. They said, with technology vast improving, how many hours is it going to take a person to provide their basic needs? Well, they said 15 then, and they figured, oh, man, it's probably going to be down to 5 in 2000. And they concluded, we can't allow that. People will have time to study, read, research. So what are we going to do? Well, this conclusion was keep the taxes, raise taxes. And they come to the year 2000, guess how many hours it takes to provide your basic needs? 15. What's the rest? Taxes. Inflation. All created, manipulated by the Fed. So who decided the interest rate's going to skyrocket? A private corporation brought America to his knees. Now, when the devil has evil intended, God used that for good and had great revivals under Billy Sunday. I mean, that's a thing. It's an amazing thing. We have a congressman in Ohio, used to have a congressman in Ohio, I think it's Ohio, that just got out of the Fed, out of the federal prison. Trafficant. Anybody remember that name? Trafficant? Jim Trafficant. He said on Congress that we have been, what's the word he used? We have been managing the bankruptcy of the United States since 1932. Or 33. Jim Traficant was trying to warn people, and he got to go to the Gray Bar Motel. What's that? Media said nothing about that, did they? He's saying, that's the thing. The Lord tells us, wise as a serpent, we try to work within this system. Okay, and that's very important. And I don't know if I'll try to do it real quick. Show you how this is created. Okay, so let's say we're going to start a bank tomorrow morning. First person walks in, dad with his little, 10-year-old kid. He's got $50. He's going to start a savings account. Okay, so 9 o'clock, bank opens. 10 o'clock, we got a savings account. 10 o'clock, we have $50, the very first $50 in the bank. Second customer walks in, the second, 2 hours later, and would like to get a loan. How much can the bank loan them? Anybody know? How much can the bank loan him? They got $50 in a savings deposit. How much can the bank loan them? They can loan them $1,000. 5%, 5% fraction. You said, where are they going to make that? They make it up. Now, nobody likes this bank, and this bank went on for a year. Nobody else came into the bank except for the one customer that borrowed the money. And so 1 year later, the customer pays $1,000 back plus 5% interest. So now they have $1,050 that they made out of thin air. And now they can loan out 20 times that amount. Would anybody like to own a bank? And we got to bail them out? Under the Bush administration, bailing out the banks? Are you kidding me? What is that? It's a transfer of wealth. Okay? And that's how that operates. That's how it works. It's all deception. It's all tomfoolery. But God, in His grace, even though the devil intends it for evil, God can turn around and use it for good. Okay? And that's where we can apply some of the principles of financial freedom and then try to work within the system. And if it's part of God's will that we can have currency or something in the bank. Here's a document. I was wondering what the fractional reserve was right now. Okay, if you got $1,000 in a bank and a bunch of people at once lost confidence in a bank and you've got $1,000 in there, you walk in the bank and say, I'd like to get my money. How much do they have to have on hand required by law to pay for that? 3%. 10% if it's over 100, and if they own 124 million in assets, in credits, it's 10%. Below that's 3%. So you have $1,000 in your savings account, you walk in, there's a run on the bank. They say, we can give you $30. Gives you pretty good confidence in banks, doesn't it? Well, I got it in my safe deposit box in the bank. It's gone too. That's theirs. It's in the writings. I'm not saying don't use it. I'm just saying recognize that Paul said riches are uncertain. Why don't they just, as far as just pull the plug in due time? In due time. They have us people to deal with. And that's what the Great Depression was all about. It was all orchestrated. Every bit of it was orchestrated. And in fact, people who orchestrated that were so cocky that they would take some people that was kind of smarting off to them and say, you just come with us to the stock exchange. You watch them jump, kill themselves, because we're running the money supply. Bloodthirsty? Yeah. Yeah, and that's the obstacles we face. But we got a God bigger than that. Okay, and the Lord still says, and somebody had the funny idea to put on here, in God we trust. And so we're going to take that admonition, and then we're trying to get into something practical as far as we go further. Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you for your words. Help us to understand some of these things. Thank you for a Bible. I do pray that you'd help us to recognize that it is an obstacle, uphill course, especially in this day, the closer we get to Christ coming. But Lord, if you see fit, help us to be good stewards. Help us to be good stewards of what you have entrusted us with. Be it little, be it much, whatever. Help us to be good stewards. In Jesus' name, amen.